Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. In Hour of Power een bijzondere spreker. Ik geniet altijd van zijn boek. Ik ben een fan van hem, Ron Bleu. Hij praat in de Christelijke Cathedral over hoe ga je nou met financiën om? God is de gever van het geld. En hij heeft een paar tips. Onder andere spaar en leen niet en besteed je geld wijs en denk vooral aan anderen. Een mooi thema. En in de Christelijke Cathedral spreekt John Maxwell over dat je je droom nooit prijs moet geven, nooit moet opgeven. Prachtig thema in die serie van vier. En hier naast me zit Melissa Venema. Melissa is een van de grootste muzikale talenten van ons land. Ruim 2 jaar geleden, Melissa, zat je hier in de uitzending. En toen had je een droom. We hebben het nu over dromen, de droom van Jozef bijvoorbeeld, straks. Toen had je een droom en ik dacht, nou, dat is leuk. Ik was onder de indruk dat je dat droomde, maar ik denk dat wordt nooit waarheid voor je. Dat gaat nooit lukken. En het is gelukt.
Ja, klopt.
Ja, we gaan verder niks zeggen. Wij houden de kijkers even in spanning. U gaat straks zien wat de droom van Melissa was. En net als de droom van Jozef, werd haar droom ook waar. Ik hoop dat u en dat jij zult genieten van deze uitzending van Hour of Power.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The key word is open. Open your heart. Open your mind. Open your consciousness. Open the doors that you always keep locked. Open. And God will come in. And you will have had a terrific experience. Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn around now and shake hands with somebody. Give them a blessing. Well, now what do I say, Lord? Oh, thank you for being there before we got to church. Oh, and thank you that we made it through the week. And we had miracles that we didn't even know were miracles, but the accident never happened. And thank you, God, that we're changeable. Thank you, for we're not perfect. And thank you that we'll leave the church wiser, brighter, more tender in heart, closer to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. Now hear these powerful words that continue to transform the world today when they are spoken. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. You know, this is now recognized universally in psychology and psychiatry as positive reactions to ill experiences. He taught it. He was divine. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Wow. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. This is the word of God out of the lips of his Son Jesus.
Want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil with goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. I want a heart that forgives, that lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can't offend, because your word is deep within, one that loves without price, like you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want a heart that loves everybody, Father, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did, Lord Jesus. Father, I want a heart that forgives. Father, I want a heart. Father, give me a heart. I want a heart that forgives, when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, they hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. God, you know they hurt me deep. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, and it's so hard for me to speak about it to anyone, but just like your Son, I give up my rights to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, Father, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did, Lord Jesus. Father, I want a heart. The heart that forgives is the heart that will live totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go, that's the heart that will know so much freedom. Give me a heart that forgives. What a heart that forgives.
Thank you, Kevin.
Pleasure.
My guest today is Ron Blue, internationally recognized financial planner and consultant. He understood that Christians would do a better job of handling their personal finances if they were counseled objectively with the highest technical expertise from a biblical perspective. He was right. This new firm grew to manage over $2 billion in assets with more than 5,000 clients. He's the author of this fantastic book, Surviving Financial Meltdown. So welcome with me, Ron Blue.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Wow. What sense do you make of the economic crisis that grips the world right now?
You know, I've been as a financial counselor and advisor for about 40 years, and I've counseled people from crisis debt situations to multi-billionaires. And I've never seen anything like what we're experiencing right now. It is pervasive, it's worldwide. But when I look at what is really going on, I think it is symptomatic of the violation of some biblical principles. God's word said, the wicked man borrows and does not repay. And what has happened is that we have tried to borrow our way into prosperity. And God says, if you're going to borrow, you've got to repay. And that's true for the family, and it's true for businesses, and it's true for our government. You can't borrow your way to prosperity. He also says in Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the church at Laodicea, and he said, you know, you think you're rich, you think you're wealthy, but let me show you something. So I would say that this is not new, and it's not unusual, and I think it's symptomatic of violating biblical principles. And I think that what has happened is that we have put money and possessions in the place of God being the provider and the protector, and he said, I'm not going to allow that to happen. You're going to have to turn back to me. So this is a wake-up call, I believe.
How can you get, that message to the right people in government?
That presumes they'd be willing to listen. And I testified before a congressional subcommittee a number of years ago now, and Senator Dodd, who's been in the news recently, was the questioner. And he said, what would you tell the American family? And I said, Senator, I would tell them, so I have told Washington this. I said, live within your income, avoid borrowing, set aside some savings and some liquidity, some margin, so that you can meet emergencies when they come up. And fourth, set some long-term goals so that you prioritize your spending. And he looked at me and he wrote them down. And
when?
Right then, he wrote them down.
When was that?
This has been about 15 years ago. So he didn't listen, but he wrote them down. And then he said, well, it seems to me that that'd work at any income level. And I said, you're right, Senator, including the United States government.
And what did he say?
Well, think about that. We had a conversation. I said, you know, those are biblical principles that work for the family. They work for businesses. They work for churches. They work for ministries. They work for the government. And God doesn't have to rewrite this when we have a stock market decline. So they don't listen because we are attempting to live beyond our means in the government. I'm not a prophet. The Old Testament penalty for missing a prophecy was death by stoning. So nothing I say is prophetic. But I say that if you don't follow God's principles of finance, you can't make it work. And God loves us so much that he's not going to allow us to avoid following his principles.
You know, we say everything that has a problem is an opportunity. What positive values, if any, do you see in these economic times?
Oh, I think this is the greatest opportunity that the body of Christ has ever had in my lifetime, and I'm 67, to demonstrate the provision of God. And I don't mean necessarily in wealth, but I mean in praying for one another. I've been on 50 radio programs probably in the last 90 days, and when people have said, I'm out of a job, I'm hurting, I say, you know what you need? Is you need a friend. And that friend should be found in church. Somebody sitting next to you may be hurting, and we need to put our arms around people and say, can I pray for you? Can I help you? What can I do to help you? This is an opportunity for the body of Christ to step forward and show and demonstrate the love and the grace and the generosity of our Lord and Savior.
Now, finally, how have these tough times affected you and your faith?
You know, it says in the Bible, do not fear. You know this probably 80 times. And it's in every book of the Bible. It says, do not fear. And how it's affected me is when I experience fear, I realize that fear and faith cannot coexist. But what it does mean that I need then to turn to God's word and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to believe? And so it's affected me by driving me deeper into God's word, and I've gotten great comfort. I've probably never been closer to the Lord as in tough economic times. So it's driven me back into his word.
Almost tempts me to say thank you for giving him all these troubles. But truly, it is the positive faith.
Absolutely.
You have this book. I've been reading it with great interest. Surviving Financial Meltdown. And in a couple of pages, I thought you could change the title to, you know, surviving to thriving.
Thriving.
In a financial meltdown. That's what you're doing.
I think that we have hope and encouragement, and I hope this book is a real hope and encouragement to thousands of people.
It will be.
Thank you.
And they can get it in any bookstore in America or in our bookstore right here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Schumer.
God bless.
Thank you.
Het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. En wat kunnen die mensen uitbundig zingen. En wat is het orkest ook goed. Mijn gast vanmorgen is, ik heb het al aangekondigd, Melissa Venema. En zij is een van Nederlands grootste muzikale talenten. En een trouwe kijkster van Out of Power. Melissa, goedemorgen.
Ja, goedemorgen.
Eens even kijken. Vind je het koor van de Christelijke Cathedral goed?
Ja, geweldig.
Ja, wat spreekt je aan?
Nou, ze kunnen echt hele grote dynamiek maken in de stukken. En ze zingen echt fantastisch zuiver.
En dat zeg jij op 14-jarige leeftijd. Dynamiek maken in de stukken en fantastisch zuiver. Dat weet je allemaal al.
Ja.
Want jij zit op conservatorium, hè?
Ja, ik ben nu in het vierde jaar.
Ja. Want dat is naast je schoolopleiding.
Ja, klopt.
Super. Wat boeit jou in Hour of Power?
Nou, ik vind het een fantastisch programma. En de preken vind ik ook altijd heel fantastisch. En het spreekt echt mensen aan.
Jou ook?
Ja,
ook
zeker.
Ook al op 14-jarige leeftijd.
Ja.
Precies 2 jaar en 4 maanden geleden zat je ook in dit programma, Hour of Power. En toen vroeg ik aan je, wat is je droom? En dat wist je precies. Zullen we het even naar gaan kijken?
Ja, is goed.
Wat is jouw droom?
Omdat ik later solotrompetist mag worden en dirigent en lesgeven aan kinderen met muziek maken. En bij André Rieu een keer in het orkest spelen.
Nou, je weet behoorlijk wat je wil.
Ja.
Ach, wat ben je een ukkie nog, hè? Schattig. Je bent wel een jonge dame geworden, moet ik zeggen.
Ja, dat zeggen er meerdere.
Ja, ja, ja. Hey, jouw droom dus was spelen met en voor in het orkest van André Rieu.
Ja.
En is niet uitgekomen, hè?
Natuurlijk wel.
Zullen we even naar gaan kijken? Dan moet je nog even niks vertellen. We gaan kijken naar... Waar was het? Ik geloof dat het op het Vrijthof is, hè?
Ja,
het Vrijthof.
Ja.
We kunnen het niet helemaal... Wat zag je er prachtig uit, zeg, in die mooie jurk.
En
je kunt zien dat André Rieu jou graag mag.
Ja, zeker. Gelukkig maar.
Ja. Heb je ook veel contact met hem?
Ja, best veel.
Want het is natuurlijk een beroemdheid tot en met.
Ja, zeker. Echt mijn grote voorbeeld.
Toen zei je die droom en wij zeiden, nou ja, mooi als je dromen hebt. Maar, en hoe is die dan uitgekomen? Heb je een brief geschreven? Heb je de uitzending opgestuurd?
Nou, hij heeft Prinsengrachtenfestival gezien. Daar heb ik op gespeeld met Nick en Simon. En nog een stuk met orkest. En ja, hij was er zo onder de indruk van dat hij op mijn website terecht is gekomen. En ja, hij heeft contact met mij opgelegd en vroeg of ik in de studio kwam voorspelen.
Zo, super.
Ja.
Dat is leuk.
Ja.
En hoe is dat om in zo'n enorm professioneel orkest te spelen? Je hebt in de arena, hoorden we net, opgetreden. 25.000 mensen.
Ja.
In Heerenveen, in nou ja, noem maar op.
Ja.
Zelfs in Zuid-Afrika.
Ja.
Hoe is dat?
Nou, ik vind het altijd wel, het blijft spannend, maar dat is wel gezonde spanning natuurlijk. En ja, ik vind het echt fantastisch om met hem op het podium te staan.
Ja. Je ouders hebben je altijd gestimuleerd, kosten nog moeite gespaard om jou te laten studeren. Hoe is dat om zulke ouders te hebben?
Ik ben er echt heel erg blij mee en ik ben echt blij dat ik zulke ouders heb die er altijd voor me klaarstaan.
Ja, je komt uit een gezin waar jullie heel veel muziek ook... Psalmen, gezangen, geestelijke liederen spelen, zingen, gelovig gezin. Wat betekent God voor je?
Nou, ik geloof dat Jezus de Zoon van God is en dat hij voor onze zonde aan het kruis is gestorven en dat hij weer op is gestaan uit de dood.
Zo?
Ja.
Dat is mooi als je dat kan zeggen.
Ja.
Want wat betekent dat voor jou in de praktijk van het leven, dat je dat allemaal weet?
Nou, dat God er gewoon altijd voor ons is en dat hij ons altijd steunt en dat je altijd bij hem terecht kan.
Ja. Als je nou bijvoorbeeld gaat spelen voor zo'n enorm publiek, dan ben je natuurlijk best een beetje zenuwachtig. Maar bid je dan ook dat je zegt van, Heere God, help me?
Ja, van tevoren dan, ja, schietgebedje helpt altijd, hè?
Ja. Maar hoe zou André Rieu dat zeggen? Dat is een echte Limburg, hè? Een schietgebedje, hè?
Voor onze lieve Heer.
Ja, 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 ja. Ja. Want hij is ook geloven. André Rieu kijkt ook naar Hour of Power.
Ja, klopt.
Ja, vind ik ontzettend leuk.
Ja.
We hopen nog eens dat hij tijd heeft om hier te komen zitten.
Ja.
Ik vind jongeren fantastisch. Ik ben zelf ook ooit geweest natuurlijk. Dus ik vraag heel vaak, wat is nou je droom? Wat wil je bereiken in je leven? Wat ga je studeren? En heel vaak hoor ik, ja, dat weet ik nog niet. Of wist ik het maar. Of dan heb je eigenlijk geen droom. Wat zeg jij tegen die jongeren?
Nou, ga een keer naar een open dag en probeer een instrument uit.
Ja.
Ja.
Is de trompet je meest favoriete instrument?
Zeker.
Oké, heb je hem bij je?
Ja.
Ja, nee, je hebt vorige week gevraagd in de uitzending. Dus dat heb je gezien natuurlijk. Ja. Kijk, ja, hij ligt daar.
Ja.
Is het de gouden of de zilveren?
De zilveren.
Ga je gang. Het is wel een mooie trompet, zeg.
Ja, zeker.
Ja, waarvoor is hij zo goed? Want je ziet dat het een mooie...
Nou, op deze trompet speel je alle klassieke stukken. En ja, je kan ze dan zo wegblazen. En het is ook heel licht spelen. Ja. En je komt er makkelijker hoog mee.
Kijk, nou, wat ga je spelen?
Blijf bij mij, heer.
Want de avond is nabij. Nog niet, maar het is een mooi, prachtig lied. Abide with me, hè, in het Engels.
Ja, ja.
Oké. Ik ga, jongens, ik voel me zeer vereerd. Ik ga je lekker onderuit in mijn stoel naar je zitten luisteren.
Oké.
Je bent toch een talent, hè? Prachtig, er zit ook zo'n mooie vibratie in.
Ja, klopt.
Hoe doe je dat?
Met mijn lippen gewoon.
Met je lippen. Een beetje trillen met je lippen.
Ja.
Fantastisch. Hey, we gaan zo meteen nog kijken naar een stukje uit het optreden in het Vrijthof. Een tijdje met een aantal anderen op. Maar ik wil je heel erg bedanken dat je hier weer was. We zullen je blijven volgen. Fijn dat je altijd Hour of Power kijkt. En hier heb ik een heel mooi aandenken voor je. Ik ga echt kijken bij de volgende keer of je dit om hebt. Een hartje. En zie je wat erin staat?
Wauw, echt heel mooi. Love never fails.
Liefde geeft nooit op. Nou, ik hoop dat je nog veel over die liefde mag trompeteren, zoals dat heet.
Ik heb eigenlijk nog wat. Want ik vind het heel erg leuk dat u iedereen cadeautjes geeft. Maar deze keer heb ik wat voor u meegenomen.
Zo. Ik ben benieuwd.
U mag de envelop meteen openmaken.
Kijk.
En dat is mijn nieuwe cd.
Kijk. Lieve Jan, deze kaart is een... Oh, wat leuk. Ik krijg twee kaartjes... Voor het André Rieu concert op een hele prachtige plaats. Ik heb ooit gezegd, weet je wel, als jij gaat spelen kom ik op de eerste rij zitten.
Ja, ja, klopt.
En dat is kennelijk het geval.
Ja.
En jij speelt natuurlijk. Nou, Melissa, geweldig. Ja, je bent een jongen, anders ga je zoen op twee wangen. Nee, dat doe ik wel. Hartelijk bedankt.
Graag gedaan.
Drie doen we net. Heel erg leuk. Ik ben heel trots op je. En een mooie cd van je in concert. Abide with me staat er natuurlijk ook op. Hè?
Ja.
Blijf bij me hier. Ik zie hem staan. Ja, in de bewerking van... Geweldig. Nou, hey, een van die leuke dingen die je doet... is samen met het orkest van André Rieu. Bucklers, hoe heet dat?
Bucklers Holiday.
Bucklers Holiday, de vakantie van Buckler. Nou, laten we daar nog een stukje naar gaan kijken. En dan komt er de vraag nu om donateur te worden van Hour of Power. En voordat we naar Melissa gaan kijken en het orkest en André Rieu... de vraag... Vindt u het nou leuk dat we zulke jonge mensen in Nederland hebben die één op het platform van de wereld hun muziek laten horen en hun talent en tegelijkertijd de diepste dingen van hun geloof delen? Dat is belangrijk, dat Hour of Power dat kan blijven doen, kan blijven uitzenden. En vandaar die vragen nu om donateur te worden. Maar eerst, Bucklers Holiday.
Elke zondag spreekt Hour of Power weer vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. Jezus zei, de oogst is groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Hour of Power vindt het belangrijk dat Gods liefde wordt verkondigd. Daarom hebben wij voor u wekelijks een inspirerende spreker. Zonder arbeiders geen oogst, zonder donateurs geen uitzending. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power en wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u de DVD-box Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Deze gloednieuwe DVD-box bevat 4 preken van John Maxwell vanuit de Crystal Cathedral over het thema dromen. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank. Ook het nieuwe boek van John Maxwell, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden, kan vanaf nu besteld worden bij Hour of Power.
My guest pastor today is John C. Maxwell. I first met him about 40 years ago when I started an Institute for Successful Church Leadership. He's back to share his message series, The Dream Journey of Joseph, based upon his new book, Put Your Dream to the Test. He gave us his first message last Sunday. So let's give a warm Crystal Cathedral welcome to John Maxwell.
Good morning. I am so delighted So delighted to be back with you at the Crystal Cathedral and be with Dr. Schuller. My newest book, Put Your Dream to the Test, has just come out. In fact, I'm so honored because the Hour of Power has made this a very special edition. And they have it available for you here. They have it also available for the television audience. In the life of Joseph, we begin to find out very early that the dream is free, but the journey isn't. That's true of all of us, is it not? Do you remember when you first had, maybe your first dream as a child, and it was so enjoyable and it was so wonderful to think about? And yet very quickly, as we begin the dream journey, we realize there's a price to pay. The dream's free. That's why I think we like it so much in the beginning. But then the journey has a great price to it. In my book, Put Your Dream to the Test, I talk about 10 questions you need to ask yourself to make sure that your dream comes true. One of those 10 questions is the cost question. The cost question just simply asks, am I willing to pay the price for my dream? Perhaps you've heard of if you go to little sideshows once in a while, there'll be a canister jar with fleas in it, and they're just kind of jumping up and down, and there's no lid on it. And you look at these fleas in the jar, and you ask, why don't they just jump out? They certainly have the ability and to do this. Why don't they jump out of the jar? Well, it's very simple. When they put the fleas in the jar, they put a lid on it. And those fleas, as they start to obviously want to get out of the jar, they start jumping up, and every time they smash their little flea brains against the lid. And after a while, they say to themselves, self, ooh, that's better. Wow, that just feels so much better. If I only jump this high, I won't get hurt again. Happens with all of us. Every one of us, as we have had a dream, and as we've started out on this wonderful dream journey, we've had high expectations, we've had wonderful thoughts about what's going to happen in our life, only to find out that as we journey in the dream, there is a cost. There's a price. And Joseph, he's about to find this out too. As a very young man, he begins to have a dream of being a ruler. But Joseph very quickly is going to find out that there's a price to be paid. And in his life, the price to be paid is sooner than he thought. It was much higher than he thought. And he was going to pay the price more than once. And I would like to take you on that journey now for a few moments. And as we follow the path of Joseph, we're going to discover the surprises he had in his life. In fact, the title of the message is How to Survive the Surprise. Because when you and I begin to pursue our dream, trust me, we're going to have some negative surprises on our journey. Joseph had four. First of all, the first surprise he came was the fact that his family reacted negatively to his dream. As a teenager, as he began to share with his family what he sensed that had been birthed in himself by God, and as he began to share his dream, they began to look upon him in a very negative way and talk to him about it in a negative way. In fact, in Genesis chapter 37, let me just read a couple of paragraphs. When Joseph, who was sent out by his father to go out to his brothers who were watching the sheep, when Joseph reached his brothers, because they were jealous of the dream, they ripped off his fancy coat, they grabbed him, and they threw him into a cistern, and the cistern was dry, and there wasn't any water in it. Then his brothers sat down to eat their supper, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites on their way from Gilead, their camels loaded with spices, ointments, and perfumes to sell to Egypt. And Judah said, brothers, what are we going to get out of killing our brother and concealing the evidence? You see, they'd already had a plot to kill him. And this next phrase, I have a sense of humor. This always kind of brings a smile to my face. The brothers are there talking, and they said, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, but let's not kill him. He is, after all, our brother. Nice family. How'd you like to have brothers like that, huh? Well, let's not kill him. I mean, after all, he is our brother. Let's just sell him to be a slave. Now, already Joseph, who had this amazing dream of being a ruler, is finding a very negative surprise. And the surprise is the fact that his family has reacted in a very difficult, negative way to his dream. We know what it's like if somebody close to us, a family member, if we share something that is important to us, perhaps an idea, a thought, or a dream, we know what it's like if they disapprove of it, maybe disagree. My father has been very important in my life, and when I had my call in the ministry, I was so blessed by the fact that he was affirmative to that call. And when I was wanting to change and make an important decision of going from one organization to another, and I got his affirmation, I thought to myself, how wonderful is a son to get the affirmation of a father. My wife Margaret is here today, and we've been married now for 40 years. And Margaret has been my best friend, and she's my wife. And when I share ideas, I can tell you, if everybody else is against the idea, but she's for it, then I'm okay. In fact, I've always said to God, if there's going to be any major change in my life, he doesn't like to have to talk to a lot of people. He just has to talk to two. Me and Margaret. I want her affirmation. I want her support. And when a dream begins, it is very fragile. And so that fragile dream in the birthing, in the beginning of it, if the people that are closest to us don't affirm the dream, as in Joseph's life, it's a negative surprise. The second negative surprise in Joseph's life as he began this dream journey was that he was going to live and grow up in a strange country. He always thought that he would be close to his family, always thought that the culture, the customs, the people that he knew, the things that he felt comfortable with, he always had felt that that's where I'll live, that's where I'll grow up. That's what I'll experience. But very early in this dream, we find him leaving the people he knows and the culture and the custom that he loves, and he goes to another country. The third surprise that he had in this dream journey was that he had more downs than ups. You see, we like to talk of life as being full of ups and downs. We have our good days, we have our bad days. We have our days that just seems like everything's kind of doing really well and going our way. We have those days when we're kind of set back and taken by surprise. And we talk about having ups and downs and ups and downs. Joseph didn't have ups and downs. He had downs and ups. In fact, he had a lot more downs than he had ups. When you begin to follow his dream journey, first of all, he was misunderstood by his family. That would tempt you to give up. Then he was sold into slavery. Again, I think you'd be tempted to give up. Then he was in a strange country. Well, that would be enough for you to want to give up your dream. But then a good thing happened. He was put in charge of the household of Potiphar. Well, now I think Joseph wants to go on. But then he's wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. I'm sure Joseph said, I'm going to give up. And then he was put in prison. Well, that's a give up. And then he was put in charge of the prisoners. Well, okay, now he can go on. And then he spends 2 years in prison. Well, that's a give up. And the cupbearer, after interpreting his dream, doesn't remember him before Pharaoh. Well, that's a give up. And then finally, Pharaoh does call him to interpret his dream, and that's a go on. And then he became ruler of the country. Well, that's a go on. But if you look at Joseph's life, he had a lot more give ups than go ons. And in your dream and in my dream, as I teach in my book, Put Your Dream to the Test, is it not true that we have a lot more give ups than go ons? That we have more downs than ups? Does my passion compel me to hold on to and keep the dream that I have? Because passion has a tendency to pull us up. It pulls us up above the crowd. It pulls us up above average. It pulls us up above ordinary. And passion pushes us onward. When everything else would say stop, when everything else would say give up, when everything else and everyone else would say quit, passion pushes us on. Let me share with you where I learned that. I call passion the great energizer. Passion gives you energy. A person that has passion has energy. Just as a person who doesn't have passion lacks energy. I've never known a person that lacked passion that was full of energy. Basically, as life comes, they're ready to take a nap. And I've never known a person that had passion that lacked energy. It pushes us out. And when I was a young pastor in our first church in southern Indiana, small country rural church, the building that we had was an old country building, over 100 years old, roof sagged, walls bowed, got the picture, seated about 85 people, just a handful going to the church when I began, and I had a dream of building a great church for God, and so I'd been there for about a year, and I remember one Sunday in summer standing up in front of the congregation and saying, in October, the first Sunday, we're going to have 300 people in attendance. Now, you have to understand, southern Indiana, poorest county in the state. When I said 300, it was way beyond anything they could imagine. The Sunday arrived. We not only had the church full, but we had the basement full. We'd rented a house beside it and put sound over there. We had it full. And then people were all around the outside, and it was a beautiful October day, so the windows were up so they could hear from the outside. And we were so excited. It was the biggest crowd we'd ever had. And I was getting ready to preach the message. And the elder of the church stood up and told the congregation, this is the largest attendance we've ever had. He said, I just want you to know that today we had 299 people. Immediately I stood up. And I said, it's wonderful to have 299 people, but what is our goal? They all said 300. I said, absolutely. And I've made a decision that I'm not preaching till we get 300. So I'm going to ask the worship leader to come up and lead the singing. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to find one more person. I'm going to bring them to church. And when we have 300, I will preach the message. I am telling you, when I walked off of that stage and I went back that middle aisle, those farmers were patting me on the back. They're saying, go get them, preacher, go get them, go get them, preacher. By the time I got to the back, I was so excited. I was pumped.
Yes.
And then I went outside and I thought, now what am I going to do? I have to go find one. I looked across the street. At the old service station there was Sandy Burton, who owned the station. Old man, never been to church, never been to church. And with him was Benny Harris, or his brother Glenn. And I went across the street, and I saw them. And of course, they knew that we were trying to have 300. Everybody knew. You didn't have a chance not to know. And he said, well, preacher, it looks like a big crowd over there. Did you get your 300? I smiled, and I said, not yet. But I have a question to ask you. We have 299 over there. I need one of you to go to church with me. So the question is, which one of you wants to be a hero for the entire valley? You just got to learn to ask the question right. And as soon as I ask, which one of you want to be a hero for the entire valley? They looked at each other, and they both smiled, and they said, we both want to be heroes.
Yes.
Old Sandy Burton put a closed sign on the filling station. Glenn was on one side, Sandy was on the other. I walked across the street. I opened up that church door. Those people were singing, but I promise you, as they were singing, they were watching the door. And when I came in with two people, they threw the hymn books in the air. They clapped, they applauded. I went down to the front row, kicked two members off, set Sandy and Glenn there. And I preached the message. 301. That night, as I was, as we all do, with something that was a dream, as I was reliving the dream, all of a sudden it hit me. Passion is what made it happen. Who in their right mind would stand up in front of people and say, I'm going to go get one more person, you keep singing till I'm back? Who in their right mind would keep on singing? Waiting for the preacher to get back with the other one. What happened? What caused the dream to be a reality? It was passion. It pulls us up. It pushes us out. You see, Joseph, in his dream journey, He had the surprise of his family reacting negatively to the dream. He had the surprise of growing up in a strange country. He had the surprise of having more downs than ups. And fourthly, he was surprised that God was with him in tough times. This is probably the most important part of the lesson. He was surprised that God was with him during the dark days. Now, it talks continually throughout the dream journey of Joseph how God was with him. For example, when Joseph was put in charge of Potiphar's home, and he became kind of the manager of the household, the Bible says, and it turned out that God was with Joseph, and things went very well with him. Well, when things go very well with us, we will always say, well, look what God's done for me. Look at how God is good to me. When things go very well, of course we say, well, thank you, God. I thank you for my blessings. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for what you've given me. But in chapter 39, after he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and he was put in jail, notice this. But there in jail, God was still with Joseph. He was still with him. He wasn't just with him when he was kind of leading and managing and running Potiphar's household, but when he was in jail, when he was wrongly accused, when things went bad. And one of the surprises that we have in our dream journey, it's not only that God is with us in the good times, but God is with us in the difficult times. In fact, I think that's where in the dream journey, we become closely attached to God. Because we see that He loves us when things are going good, and He loves us when things are going bad. In our good days and our bad days, that He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, and that He is a constant companion who never leaves us, nor does He ever forsake us. And the moment that we begin to understand and realize that God is with us through our ups and downs, it's an amazing, beautiful surprise. Now, I don't know what that does for you today, but in the times that we live, where our country's in turmoil, and people don't seem to have answers to the questions of the economy. In a time where people are losing jobs, and it's not the best of times for us. Isn't it kind of nice to know that during these low, difficult, dark, extremely hard times, that God is with us? That He's here to help you, to guide you, to support you, to strengthen you. There's a passage of Scripture that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or the Maxwell translation that says, if God is for us, everyone else might as well be. And in Joseph's life, God was for him. He had birthed a dream within him. And Joseph, in his dream journey, discovered that God was faithful. There are things I do not understand. In the last week, I've just lost a wonderful friend of pancreatic cancer. There are questions that you have. There are hurts that you experience within your life. And sometimes we wonder, where is God? Can I trust Him? Is He faithful? Does He see me where I am? Can he meet my deepest need? Many years ago, when going through a difficult time, I memorized this very short poem that has kind of helped me get through the tough times. God is too good to be unkind, and He's too wise to be confused. If I cannot trace His hand, I can always trust His heart. All right. 10 years ago, I had a heart attack. And while I lay in the hospital in a very difficult time for a couple of hours, I experienced something that I'd never experienced before, because I was facing death. And I had an amazing peace in my life. I cannot describe to you the peace that I had in such a difficult time. I've heard of people talking about God giving you dying grace or dying strength. And here I am kind of hovering there for a couple of hours. And the peace that I had, it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything because it was during the difficult time. It was in the downtime. It was in the darkest hour that God was the closest. And God really says to you, when he says to me, in those darkest hours, he is saying, you can trust me. See, if Noah were here today, Noah would say, you can trust God to send the rain. Abraham would say, you can trust God to give you descendants. Moses would say, you can trust God to deliver the people. Joshua could say, you can trust God to give you the promised land. And David would say, you can trust God to slay the giants in your life. And John the Baptist would say, you can trust God to send the Messiah. The little boy with the loaves and fish, he would say, you can trust God with your lunch. The sick people can say you can trust God to bring healing. The lost people can say you can trust God to bring salvation. And Joseph in his dream journey would say, you and I can trust God. We can trust him to fulfill his plan and the dream that he has planted in your life. And regardless of the surprises, whether it's the fact that God is with you during difficult times, or you have more downs than you have ups, or you're in a strange country with strange land, or the fact that those closest to you have been negative to you, regardless of all those things, in the most difficult times, you can trust God. I'm telling you at the Crystal Cathedral, during your dream journey and the difficult times and the surprises come, you can trust him. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday. God bless.
Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power. We vinden het geweldig dat honderdduizenden mensen elke zondag afstemmen hier in Nederland en zo'n 40 miljoen wereldwijd. Het is ook de mooiste boodschap ter wereld. De liefde van God, boodschap van hoop en geloof. Volgende week spreekt dominee Maxwell over het feit, de vraag eigenlijk, of dromen bedrog zijn. Dat wordt ook weer een hele bijzondere aflevering. En Melissa heeft haar gouden trompet hier laten liggen, dus jammer, maar ik ga erop spelen, dus misschien in de komende weken ga ik eens wat muziek verzorgen in Hour of Power. Misschien ook niet, we wachten dat maar af. Het is een droom van me, dus misschien wordt die waar. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending en graag tot volgende week.